So, Bev Maloon is in the studio, and Bev has brought her wonderful, wonderful son, Gubby. Gubby, I have to say hello to you before your mom.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
So, you're not at school today?
Yeah, our school has a rat problem today.
A rat problem. Well, you gotta love rats.
Yeah.
Today, you know, yes. Rats are your friends because it gives you time to stay away from school and come join us on Chai FM. So I say, you know, let's give rats a five.
Should we all sing Ben now? Didn't Michael Jackson sing that to rat?
Ben, the two of us need look no more. Didn't he sing that to
a
rat?
No, I don't know. Was it a rat?
It was a rat. Ben was a rat.
And babe, you've got a lovely voice. Ben.
Yeah, do it.
How are you, Ms. Maloon?
I'm good. How are
lovely
you?
Lovely to have you in the studio.
Not ecstatic about the rat problem. Lovely to have my son here.
What is this, a rat problem?
I'm not too
I've
sure.
I've never heard. I mean, I didn't want to dwell, but seeing as though you have, they've closed the school down because there is a rat problem.
I was hoping they would just dodge the rats. Get on with the school day. But obviously one can't do that. And so PSP wins. Do you have a rat game? An educational game? It is what it is, but they're addressing it, fixing
Gubby,
it and moving on.
Listen,
so
if a rat walks in your direction, don't stare him down. Look away. And walk away.
Ah, look away.
Joburg rats are not to be tackled.
No, they're not. They've come all the way to the Heartveld. They know where the big food
leave
is.
Leave the rat alone. Okay, Bev, we've got lots
of
SMSs.
Let's focus. Okay.
Let's start off with the 26th of the 8th, 1976.
Right. So let's look at this. And I'm going to assume that this is a gentleman. But obviously it's a 50-50 and I'm not an oracle. That's you. But what do you think? Man or woman, Nikki?
Woman.
Woman. Is it? You see? I'm not an oracle. But I'm going to just speak about this person as if they are man.
Sorry, I just wanted to confuse you, and you don't confuse easily, so go for it.
All right, so this person now, because I am confused, this person is born on the 26th of August, has this massive desire to be in their own story. Now, I speak about this a lot, don't I? But and people often say to me, I'm not too sure what you mean. What I mean is that not everyone wants to be the same as society. There are people who do, who just want to be nothing but the same, and they don't want to be different, and they don't want to stand out. And in fact, where they find differences in themselves that do not echo what's going on in society, they deliberately suppress that and oppress it and repress themselves so that they can fit in. But some people have this huge desire to be different, and then I always wonder, are they liberating it? And I don't mean different eccentric, different over the top, but different, that they have different needs to the people around them, different passions to the people around them, and they want to have things differently, and it doesn't fit into what society says is okay or what's normal. Or, well, what do you mean you want to do that kind of business? Everyone else is a doctor, an accountant, a lawyer, or got a job or in a managerial position or in economics or whatever, etc. No, I don't. I want to be a horticulturist and I want to do garden landscaping. You know, really? No, but no one around here does that. What will you talk about? So there's always the insecurity of other people, and I call it the crab in a bucket syndrome, because the story of the crabs in a bucket is that when you go fishing for crabs, you don't kill them. Remember, all the crabs in the stores that you buy to cook at home are generally dead, but when you go into a restaurant that cooks them, they're running around often in a tank, and you choose the one you want to eat, right? And they do that with lobster as well, and prawns and that kind of thing. So when they hunt for crabs, it's so interesting when they're fishing for crabs or whatever the terminology is, that they do not kill them. They just throw them in a bucket with a bit of water in it, because they know that when it gets close to the top of the bucket, the crabs inside the bucket will never let another crab escape. And so as the crab's trying to get out the top of the bucket, another crab will knock him and pull him down. And it is the nature of a crab.
Wow.
So I call it the crabs in a bucket syndrome. And it's so interesting for me is that when people see people in their environment, community, trying to be different, trying to stand up for who they really are, and it affects them because it reflects on what they're not doing that is authentic for themselves, then those people with insecurities about not living their own story and in their own truth will try to keep that crab down and will try and knock them back into the bucket. Don't make us look different. Don't be something that we can't be. Don't show courage. Don't just stay here in the bucket, right? And that is a very dangerous way to live, because we're coming from a place of insecurity. And so with the person of the 26th of August, the first thing I would want to ask is, have you allowed your social insecurities to keep you from living this exquisite truth that I know to be true here? Because there's a huge nurturing desire to heal, help, outreach, etc. Are you liberating that? Or are you sticking in societal conforms that say, I have to be this way, I have to make money this way, I have to do this, I have to behave this way, and not liberating that truth?
Fantastic,
Get
Bev. Get out the bucket. Yeah, right, okay, the bucket, thank you, Bev. We've got Louise on the line. Just put your cans on, Bev. Hi, good morning, Louise.
It's 28/9/22.
28/9. Is that your mother, Louise?
Yeah, she'll be 90 this year, yeah.
Have you got it, Bev?
Got it. 28th of September, 1922. Is there anything specific you'd like to look at?
No, just a profile. Just tell me about that.
Okay.
Thanks.
I imagine I won't surprise you. All right. Thanks so much, Louise.
Thanks, Louise. Bye-bye.
Okay. So I imagine I won't surprise Louise too much, but I think a lot of times when people want an intuitive numeric profile from me, what they're really asking for is confirmation. Or they've had a more challenging experience of that parent or of that person, and they want to know, like, what's the nice stuff? What did I miss in the nature of a relationship with somebody that you don't always get the best of them because they're doing the best for you but not always with the best resources? So if we're looking at Louise's mom, we're looking at somebody who has a very strong opinion and is very intellectual about things and has a compassionate, generous-spirited nature, but it is definitely with not lacking in its ability to be critical and to assess situations and say, well, it should be this way and it should be that way, and is outspoken, quickly outspoken about that. So her work would have been, if she's done a lot of work on herself, would have been to refine how she puts out what she's thinking or feeling or what her assessments are, because she has a very strong natural ability to weigh up and assess things. Mm. Like, this would be a fantastic auditor if she'd been in a vocation in her lifetime, a fantastic assessor or auditor, or even somebody who would be brilliant at assessing quantities of money, that kind of thing, assessing what needs to be done, what are the logistics lacking here, in a very matter of fact, this is how it has to be perspective. And obviously, from a daughter's perspective, one would hope that there was a gentleness about the assessments and that there was a nature that wasn't completely challenging and critical and lacking in compassion and sensitivity. Because this is not a person without an enthusiastic, compassionate, generous spirit. But there is a lot of need for exactness and a critical eye. And I would hope that the experience that Louise has had of her mom is that she had worked on that, and that what came through was more of the affectionate, generous, encouraging spirit and not as much of the seemingly compassion-lacking criticism and encouragement and demands. Because that paradox is very much there. But if it did come out that way, the best I can offer, Louise, is that your mom's nature is to find the best way to do things quickly without emotion attached. But that doesn't make her a woman lacking in emotion. It just means that her bent is more on the critical eye of how things can be improved without allowing emotion to obscure that. And funnily enough, her obvious paradox, therefore, like I've said before, where someone is so naturally bent in a way, their obvious paradox and work and their self-esteem is to bring up the balance of that, which would be to share her feelings and to talk about her disappointments and her emotions and not stifle them and put them aside because they're not intellectual. And I don't know if she's been able to do that, or if she has, then she's certainly done an amazing amount of work. But that is her paradox, and it's not an easy one. It's not an easy one.
It would be so interesting to talk to Louise about
wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't it? But obviously we wouldn't want to expose her.
No. We have Kate on the line. Hi, good morning, Kate.
Hi, good morning.
Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. The date is 23rd October 1953. I listen on the radio. This is a bad line.
Okay.
Thanks, Kate.
Have you got
Thank
it, Bev?
You.
You got it, Bev?
23rd of October 1953, yes, I have it.
Thanks, Kate. Thank you.
Now, it's so interesting because Kate's numbers are exactly opposite to Louise's mom's numbers. Yes, while Louise's mom's numbers come down to 1956, Kate's numbers come down to 5196.
Gee whiz.
So there is similarities, but there is not, it's certainly not the same because Kate, if this is Kate herself and she's not putting it in for somebody else, Kate is a person who has a huge, deep philosophical bent, very deeply sensitive. And I'm not certain people would get to know that about her. That is very low beneath the surface, hidden stuff, philosophical, idealistic, hugely intuitive about the world and sensitive about how things are in the world, with a trusting nature that most probably has met with a lot of disappointment, because where we have huge hopes, we also have the danger of setting those hopes as a final endpoint. And when it's not met, the gap often between where we want to be and where we are is incredibly disappointing. And so I would hope that Kate has worked on that aspect of herself and has been able to manage her disappointments, because there is a huge need for things to be in a certain way. And also she is a generous, compassionate, giving, affectionate natured person with a lot of expectation on top of that to have needs met and etc. If you don't voice them, it's very hard to have that fulfilled. Very hard. And as a person, when people meet her, she'd come across as chatty and intelligent and able to share information and very conversational. But there's a lot more to Kate than meets the eye. Mm. This is her. There's a lot more going on there that she's not telling anyone about. And the only people who'll get to know it are the people who are intimately bent with her, that are close and she lets in. It won't be a case of just everybody is close to her. She'll have a lot of people with whom she converses and is chatty. But the people who really know her, handful. If that, a handful. Okay.
We're going to take a break. It is 101.9 Chai FM. We have self-esteem engineer Bev Maloon in the studio taking your birth dates down. Lots and lots of people have sent through SMSs. Just remember, if you call in, we take the call first. 0861 242436 or SMS us on 34519.
This is 101.9
Chai FM. So it's time to dig deep, time to look at ourselves in the mirror. And what better way than with Bev Maloon, who does the numeric profiling. She is our self-esteem engineer, joins us every Friday in the Chai FM studios between 9:30 and 10 o'clock. So that was Kate, and we have Dora on the line who wants to talk to you as well, Bev. Hi, good morning, Dora.
Morning. Morning. I'd like her to tell me about myself.
Okay, Dora, what is your birthday?
19th of February, 1940. And I was born at 10:14 p.m.
That's lovely. That doesn't really help me, though.
No.
I don't know much about timing. That's more astrology. But thank you for that. 19th of February, 1940. And any particular aspect you'd like to address?
No, I'd just like to know, you know, a little bit more.
Okay.
Thank you, Dora. Are you going to listen on the radio?
Yes.
Super. Have a good day. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Bye, Dora.
All right. Now, I'm going to assume right off the bat that Dora knows enough about herself to know most of the things. What I'm going to look straight at then in the few moments I have with her is where she could feel more fulfilled. And those are always in the areas of where we are not aware necessarily of what our paradoxes are, which I often find when I'm doing profiles with people one-on-one, that's interesting for them. Like, that makes sense. Now I understand why I don't feel full in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say for Dora, she knows that she's a social nurturer. She knows that she's got a lot of ideas and opinions, and she has a strong critical opinion about how the world should be. And so she knows all of that stuff. She likes to organize the people in her life. She's sensitive. She likes to get things moving, doesn't like it when things stagnate. We know all of this, right? And she knows all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if Dora knows that a lot of her work has been about self-esteem in her life. Like, I imagine she does know, but part of it has been about allowing other people to have a way with her that she's more flexible towards. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is when we have somebody who has strong opinions, strong ideas, and loves to care and loves to nurture, etc., it is not always easy for them to hear that there is other ways to do things and that there are flexibilities that are required for us to flow in the world in a way that serves us better. And so what might have been a lot of Dora's work up and until now is to work on being flexible and not being in that beautiful Yiddish term, dafka, which I don't know if there's the perfect English term for that, but dafka just says it. And dafka is really about digging your heels in and saying, well, I'm not just because.
Mm-hmm.
I won't, and I don't have to give you a reason. And then people say, well, he's just being dafka.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think that's the best way to explain
best
it for
way.
All the listeners.
Very well
who
explained.
Are, well, I've done a lot of thinking about this because it's such a beautiful word and there's not an easy way to get it across. And so, Dora, that's something I'm going to challenge you with, my dear, that there is a dafkiness about you and there is a childlike stubbornness sometimes that will rear its head when you're being challenged to do things in a way that you may not have thought of yourself or you may not have wanted to yourself. And I wonder if you've looked at that, because I'm not saying that means you have to be all open and flexible and literally flowing any direction someone pushes you in. Heavens no, that's not what I'm saying. What I am encouraging is that when you next feel that dafkiness surfacing, when you next feel, well, I'm not, think about where that's coming from. And I'm talking to everybody who's listening now. Think about where that comes from. Is that coming from a place of rightness? I'm right about this. No one else can be right. Is it coming from a place of insecurity, of fear? Well, if I'm not right, does that mean I'm not valuable or not okay? Or is it coming from the insecurity of, well, if I'm not right, then does it mean that anything I've done is right? Or can it just come from the place of, well, that's interesting, I hadn't thought of that. Let's assess it and see which way is the better way to go. And when we decide on that, that will be my new way, because I live with a sense of self that says I can grow. There is no status quo. I don't have to be the same right now that I was 3 minutes ago. I don't have to lack sensitivity now like I did 3 minutes ago. I can keep growing. I can keep evolving and keep remodeling myself to be the better version of me. So when I wake up tomorrow, I hope to be a better version of me than I was when I woke up today. And I give myself permission to learn, to err, to repent, to apologize, to work on what I'm lacking as a human being and develop more sensitivity for other people, more strength of self for myself, without the inflexibility that comes from insecurity that says I just can't. Now, of course, and I have to stipulate this, when we have somebody who has this kind of nurturing bent and this kind of mind and that kind of inflexibility that is evident, we certainly want those people as human rights activists and as child rights activists and as any kind of rights activists, because those are the people who say, no, I will not budge on this. It is not okay to sometimes beat your children to a pulp. And there's so many different philosophies on that. That's a whole other conversation. But we want activists and people who are passionate about a cause to say, I will not.
I will dig my heels in.
I will not stop until. I will until. Until it happens, I will keep doing this. And so I'm saying that there has to be a fluidity in our lives where we can apply that kind of stubbornness that is healthy and serving of a cause, and where we can apply that kind of flexibility where it is healthy and serving of self and bringing no harm to others. And I hope that has value for Dora.
Fantastic, Dora. I was going to say, I wish you luck on the journey, but it's not luck. It's no. What do you wish someone?
Luck
insight.
Would mean we wake up and we have a chance.
Strength, bravery, because you've got to be
flexibility,
all of those things. But enjoy that journey,
but,
Dora.
You know,
enjoy
the story of the Tao. And the strength, the power to be able to bend like a reed. And they say, well, why? Why is that powerful? Because the reed can bend right over in a hurricane. And when the hurricane's over, it might be that it's been pushed in one direction, but it will straighten up. It will. If it wasn't uprooted, it will straighten up. And if there was a wind and it blows and the reed blows left and right and can bend right over, but it doesn't snap. And it's that kind of source of strength and power that enables the bamboo plant to dig its roots deep into the ground for years before it shoots up 80 feet in less than 2 months. Because the root structure is solid, it doesn't feel insecure. It can shoot for the stars. And that's what I encourage people as we're reaching up and ending in our time here, is that in your life, it is really about reaching your potential and feeling more full. That's what I want for people, that they feel more full and more empowered in their relationships, their day, the way they think, the way they handle a robot that stops them, a person who's rude to them, etc., etc., etc. Whatever it is they do, they can manage it without the fear or inflexibility that creates that need to control others and to repress others or repress or hold back ourselves. That's what flexibility is about, the ability to take on new information and not break and not try to break someone else and not comment negatively on what somebody else is sharing with you because you don't like it or don't agree with it, but appreciate that it brings no harm to you and they seem to be benefiting from it and you don't like it, so don't be a part of it. But do you have to knock it down? Where does that insecurity come from?
Indeed, a wonderful journey. So if you're listening and you've been taking notes for yourself and you know what Bev says, because every time, and our next time I'm going to be writing notes, I've got to think about them after Bev walks out the studio. It is a wonderfully exciting journey. Strength, flexibility. Bev, thank you.
Strength, inflexibility.
Strength, inflexibility.
You can't be flexible without being strong.
Indeed. Gabby? Go get rid of those rats, really. Just come visit us again, even if there are no more rats, will you?
I will.
Sure.
As long as you don't tell the public educator.
Bev, wonderful. Looking forward to seeing you again next week.
And you too. Have a wonderful week.